You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, a recent survey showed 41% of women said they cried at work in the last year, and 9% of men said they did. We'll talk to a guest who says it's sexist to look down on people who cry at the office. But first, the world seems to be split into two camps. The people who, when faced with a project, are able to dive right in and complete the task at hand with time to spare. And then there are those who feel the idea of beginning a project to be daunting. They may reorganize a closet or binge watch a TV show to avoid starting something they know they need to get done. For a long time, people in the latter camp have been described as lazy or lacking in willpower. But research shows that it's actually incredibly complicated to begin a project and that there are a lot of factors at play with something seemingly as simple as just starting. Jane Porter is a freelance reporter based in New York. She recently wrote a piece in Lifehacker about the difficulties of just starting a project. Jane, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you wrote about the difficulties of just getting started. What is it about starting a new project or a new task that's so hard?
You know, having that kind of blank page in front of you, having, starting from zero really is kind of the most intimidating part of a project for so many people. But research in neuropsychology has really shown that the root cause of that is different for everyone. So, you know, for me, it might be impulsivity. For you, it might be poor planning, or it might be, poor orderliness or just having trouble initiating a small task. So it's really, just figuring out what that root cause for starting a task can really take you really far in terms of just getting over that hump.
And I think one of the interesting things is when we often talk about procrastination in a negative sense, whether it's about ourselves or someone else. And, you know, it's kind of seen as a fault. But actually, one of the causes can be being afraid of not being able to do it perfectly. So it's actually having extremely high standards that causes us to not get started.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, perfectionism can be, you know, your biggest enemy in terms of getting started. I have this little quote on my desk from John Steinbeck that says, "And now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good." Just this idea that you just have to be okay with not getting everything exactly right, and sort of over-collecting information, that impulse to sort of continue to gather information, to continue to prepare for this thing that you need to do, as opposed to just starting it. Can be a trap that a lot of people, it is a trap that a lot of people fall into.
And in your article, you write that, of course, it's good to gather information that we need to get started, but sometimes that information gathering can be used kind of as an excuse not to get started.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just feeling the need to get it right, feeling the need to explored every angle, every corner can be a danger, can be a trap that you fall into. So it really is important to be able to kind of take that leap and just get going on whatever your project is, and worry about maybe going back to those details and the nitty gritty later.
So what exactly is happening in our brains when we're procrastinating, when we're having a hard time just starting something?
Sure. So, there's a couple of things going on, and it's really different for every person. But research in neuropsychology has shown that there are 9 aspects of executive brain function, and any one of those could really be the trigger for you, for me, for anyone in their procrastination. So that could be, shifting from one activity to another. I'm about to sit down and start writing a story, and then all of a sudden I decide I need to check my email, or I need to dust off my desk or organize my papers. That could be impulsivity. I get a phone call from a friend who's nearby who wants to grab a coffee, and I just run off and do that instead of getting started. So really thinking about kind of the root cause of what typically we have a pattern of what keeps us from getting started, and kind of really taking a step back and thinking, what is it that usually stops me from getting started? What is it? What's that one thing that usually triggers me to move away, to avoid what I'm doing? That could be Facebook. That could be, you know, social media is often, you know, a trigger for people. Email. And really figuring out what that one thing is and is kind of the first step in, you know, in kind of overcoming the hesitation to get started.
We're talking with Jane Porter. She's a freelance reporter based in New York, and she recently wrote a piece in Lifehacker about the difficulties of just getting started on a project. So, Jane, it sounds like often, especially when we have something looming in front of us that we know we should have started and we haven't started it yet, it can be hard to say, you know what, I'm going to take just a little bit of time and figure out what the stumbling block is. But it sounds like you're saying that little investment of time to kind of take that step back and look honestly at what's holding us up is probably time well spent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, you know, is that it's easy to sort of over-fantasize about the end product if you're working on a big project, to sort of have this really big ideal in mind. You know, psychologist Jeremy Bean calls it positive fantasies, where you think about the end state of achieving the goal rather than all the steps that you need to take in order to reach that goal. I mean, it's great to think positively, you know, and to dream big and to have a, you know, to reach high with your goals, but to focus on just the end product without thinking about what are the steps that need to go into this. You know, is really something that can hold you back from getting started.
I think of it kind of in an analogy of going on a trip. I mean, maybe, you know, sitting here in Madison, I think, okay, I'm going to go to New York City and I'm going to have lunch with Jane Porter. And then the day comes that I've decided I'm going to do that and I haven't made a plane reservation. I haven't figured out where I'm staying. I haven't gotten the time off work. So I had that end goal, but I didn't put any of the steps in place to make it happen.
Right. Yeah. And you know, one thing that can help in sort of, countering that is to really define, like, what are the key steps that I need to take? And, you know, and really boiling it down to, like, three, for example. You know, so having these three high impact actions that you need to take. I mean, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll have a to-do list for the day with, you know, 10, 15 things on it, but not all of those 10, 15 things are of equal importance. So really identifying what are those three high impact actions that you really need to take. Like, I need to book the flight, you know, and when you get down to it, it's like, well, I could just book that flight. It won't take more than 15 minutes. It won't take more than 5 minutes, maybe. You know, it just kind of pushes away all that other busy work that we sort of let kind of take up all of our time and help us avoid getting started on what really matters.
As we wrap up here, Jane, one of the most interesting things I found in your article was that you say that forgiveness can actually play a big role in alleviating some of that procrastination angst. Who are we forgiving and for what?
So forgiveness is, you know, forgiveness is important, and it's really about forgiving yourself for, you know, getting sidetracked, forgiving yourself for delaying starting the task. You know, it's kind of that sort of idea that people, they'll have a New Year's resolution, they'll kind of fall off the track, you know, they'll go off track, and they'll just give it up on it. And, you know, being able to forgive yourself, being able to say, okay, you know what, I got a little sidetracked, but I'm going to get back to the work that I need to be doing, and it's okay. Research has shown that that's really important and a really effective way to just get over procrastination. Don't sort of stew in your, you know, in your kind of regret about it, but just push forward, push through it, forgive yourself, get over it, and get started.
And going back to what we touched on in the beginning, the difficulty is often getting started, but maybe sometimes we don't have to start at what feels like the beginning of a project. When I was writing a lot of history papers in college, I found writing the body was a lot easier, and then going back and writing the introduction and then the conclusion last. So maybe it doesn't always have to go in the same order we think either.
Right. Absolutely. There's no, you know, there's no sort of master map of how to get started. There's no, like, right first turn to make. It's just about kind of sitting down, and launching into it and getting going and not worrying about the end product from the very first moment that you sit down.
Well, Jane, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Jane Porter is a freelance reporter based in New York. She recently wrote a piece in Lifehacker about the difficulties of just starting a project. Well, coming up, we'll talk to a guest making the case that it should be okay to cry at work. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.